Well, as I said, I'm going to give a brief overview of John. I admit I wasn't quite ready to tackle. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. I need another week to get ready. So we're just going to look at some big ideas that John brings to us. I've just selected a few particular passages to get a flavor for this book. So I'm going to flip through my Bible here just for a moment as we do so, reading a couple of just, I could have chosen really any. I've chosen something from the beginning and the end and one interesting point from the middle. So this is John 1, a few verses, John 13, and then John 20. John begins his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. A few verses later, he continues, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Later on in his teaching, 13, 34, and 35, we learn, I like hearing those pages turn, I won't let you get there. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And then at chapter 20, verse 31, and a very important concluding statement toward the end before his postscript, in 21, chapter 20, verse 31, we're told this. These things he has written, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Let's pray. Father, it's my prayer as I point out a few important aspects of this book, that you would make the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I think I'm pretty safe in saying that many of you, perhaps all of you, have read the book of John. Perhaps some of you have been on an evangelistic campaign where you gave out a copy of just this book. It's oftentimes printed just together, the book of John, so that others can start right there and read about that one who is the Word, and then read about Jesus' life and his teachings and his encounters, perhaps, for example, with Nicodemus, where we come to that most famous of passages, John 3:16. As I've been preparing here for the last few weeks, knowing I was going to jump into this, I've been reminded that, again, this is the beauty of God's Word, that His Word is, in all of its parts, is simple enough for any of us, whatever our education, whatever our upbringing, whatever our, just whatever point we are in life, we are able to comprehend what we need to know God in Christ, and to know of God's love and God's sovereign care over people that he has made. And yet as we read it more and more, each time we see we can go deeper and deeper and deeper into the truth of God and into his attributes, his person. John has often said that, and there's so many different quotes, I'm going to kind of paraphrase this because there's different ways, but that it is deep enough that an elephant can swim in its shores, and yet a little child can paddle around on the beach, and each of those can find refreshment here. Simple enough for a child, and yet complex enough for the learned. Now let me just mention a few things I've mentioned in my outline here. It's obviously different. John's gospel is different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's a name they've given Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, because they, if you look at them, they do tend to tell the same story with many of the same miracles and a same path through Christ's life. Each of them has a particular, some particular aspects to them. We usually see Mark as the one probably written first, and then in various ways I've tried to figure out who maybe looked at each other's, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke were obviously very similar. And in particular, each of them are told with a particular audience in mind. That's why they're pretty much the same material and yet with certain nuances. Whether it be more of a Jewish audience or more of a Gentile audience. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke are different from John. When you look at John, you see immediately that it just doesn't even start the same way. Mark starts with basically Jesus' adult life. Luke and his genealogy takes us, I believe, all the way back to Adam. I think Matthew takes us back to Abraham. John, of course, takes us all the way back to eternity. As he begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Someone has said, and you probably have experienced this, if you're going to go to an art gallery or to a museum, there's a couple of different ways to observe the vast amounts of material there. If you're in an art gallery, perhaps you want to just take a tour of the whole thing and just sort of glance at each painting as you go. In a museum, you could look at the various exhibits. And yet another way to do it would be to pick a few that are meaningful to you and to spend more time studying these particular exhibits. I know for us in an arms museum, we would like to sit down and watch these documentaries and these sort of dramatic presentations of armor and of swords, making of armor and swords and of knights fighting in them. So we would stop and spend a little more time there for maybe 20 minutes going through these. Well, the Gospels, and particularly John, are the same way. You can look at them and see they've each, in fact, looked at the big picture of Jesus' life, his teaching, his ministry, his healings, his raising from the dead, his in a broad stroke. And then they all take the last few days of his life and look very more closely at his passion, his death, the days leading up to it. Now what John has done is he has even taken his own, and if this was probably written last of the Gospels, maybe one of the last books of the Bible written, he's taken a few miracles, a few sayings, some particular teaching materials, and he said, let's stop. We have these other three books. Let's stop and visit some things. I think that in my quote on the notes. He visits some ideas such as world, flesh, darkness, and death, and contrasts them with light, life, love, and divine sonship. So, all that to say, this book is a little bit different. In fact, it's a lot different in some ways than these other Gospels. Numbers 2 and 3 in my notes. The miracles and the I am saying. Now again, we're going to work through these. I just wanted to remind you, he actually, and it seems that he is doing this, seven being a particularly important biblical number. And again, so there's some argument over this in particular, how it works out. But if you follow it, there are seven miracles that lead to the greatest miracle that follows. We see here in John's Gospel that miracle of changing water into wine at the wedding at Cana in Galilee. We see a healing of an official's son, a healing of a paralytic. One of the feedings, he doesn't do both of them, the others do. Those were actually two. He does the feeding of the 5,000. We see Jesus walking on water. The healing of a man born blind, and then his healing. And then the raising of Lazarus. And then, of course, the biggest miracle of all follows all of these. Jesus' own, coming back from the dead. John has taken these particular ones. We're going to study them over these next few months and see why he chose these and what he wants us to learn from them. Similarly, we have what are often called the seven I am statements, and some of these I am statements occur along with some of those signs. These are some of the things that are going to, I think, we'll find out just a great joy as we stop and look at them. In this gospel, we find Jesus telling us such things as, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. This is a little bit different kind of sermon than this. Probably a little more lecture than sermon. So let me just encourage you, as I read these, take this to heart. Let God minister to you. This is Jesus speaking to you as his word is read. He's the bread of life. And yet they grumbled. They didn't like hearing that. I'm the light of the world. Jesus spoke again to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If any of you felt like you were in the darkness this week, literally or figuratively, come to Christ. He's the light. Look to him and find life. I am the door of the sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. I pray that you know this shepherd. Even this morning, he's the good shepherd. He's Psalm 23. In action, incarnate, Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He is teaching, and we're going to get to that one. And I'm supposed to do this in a big, you know, I don't want to spend a few years in John. I'm going to just go through it this year for the most part. He teaches Mary and Martha something, even as he's approaching, and as he already knows he's going to raise Lazarus. Remember, he had waited a few days and allowed Lazarus really to die. And he teaches them, and he exhorts them. He says, you know, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. We live in a fallen world. People die every day. We don't know when our days will end. We don't know the number that God's given, appointed for each of us. But there's good news. We don't have to live in fear. Those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, even though we die, yet shall we live. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He's the only way to salvation, folks. Jesus, he is the way and the truth and the life. There's no other way. You can't get there through your own effort, the various self-help programs we may seek, the various other religions that may be offered to us. Jesus has made a very startling and profound statement. I am the way. In me is life. You come to the Father through me. Finally, and this takes us to the next step. There's, you might say, salvation, justification. There's also sanctification. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Abiding in him, living united to him by faith, we receive nourishment to grow in courage for the Lord, to grow in knowledge and understanding and wisdom, to grow in faith. We become more like him. And then there is actually what you might call an eighth or a foundational I am statement, where he actually says, before Abraham was, I am. declaring his divinity. So we have 7 plus 1 miracles and 7 plus 1 I am sayings, telling us of who. And again, all of this is to point us to the greatness and majesty of Christ. Number 4, there's some special teaching material here. Again, we can't go through all this today, but you'll recall, for example, I guess just 3 examples, that interaction with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the one who ought to have known the truths of God, comes in the darkness and interacts, and John gives us this. And we learn through this rehearsal of the conversation, we learn that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world might be saved through him. We have an extended teaching on the Holy Spirit in 12 at various points in 12, 13, and 14. He tells us, though I go away, I send my spirit, the paraclete, the helper. We learn just that the wonder of that teaching here from Jesus himself. That he's sending that, though it seems hard to believe, why is it better for you to go away? No, it's better because I send my spirit to be with you at all times. We have his foot washing, demonstrating his love, loving them to the fullest. There's many wonderful things to find here in John's gospel. The high priestly prayer, where Jesus prayed for us, that we might know. Finally, I've listened to John's identity and the purpose in writing this gospel. Well, I believe, and I'm not going to go through long, you know, he doesn't absolutely identify himself. But through different points, it appears that he is John, the brother of James and the son of Zebedee. I want to read something to you here as we close from 1 John. I think is important because obviously he wrote his gospel and he wrote his epistle. And his epistle begins like this. These are wonderful words. That which was from the beginning, again, he relates it back to his gospel. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard. He says it again. That which we've seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Don't you need that sometimes? We all have doubts. We all have struggles. We hear things, we watch a documentary, or we hear a news report, or we just have our faith challenged. John says, look, I saw it. I'm only telling you what I've seen and what I've heard. He says that twice in his epistle. And he tells us, you know what? I'm telling you this because this is the word of life. Because life in this world is fleeting, but in Christ is eternal life. And in the depths of your soul, you need to know that. That there's hope, that there's peace. You can be sure that you have eternal life and that you have fellowship, companionship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and with one another. In chapter 20, and I have this listed in the notes, we're told by John, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That's why we're going to study. That our faith might be increased, that we might be encouraged to share with others this good news that in Jesus Christ is life. We're sinners. Our sin separates us from God, brings condemnation. But in Jesus, by faith in Him, there is life. And in that life, there is hope for growth, for change, for living day by day with joy, even in sickness, even in confusion sometimes, even in the darkness sometimes. We look to Him and find light. We're told again, I'm going to close here with this couple of words from this quote. I've mentioned in this, he contrasts world, flesh, darkness, death. In this, he demonstrates the fact that left to our own devices, we can't save ourselves. But he also teaches us about light, life, love, and the divine sonship of Christ. John, or God through John, proclaims to us a salvation. It's entered our world from above. Here is good news. Jesus has come, not to tell us how we might save ourselves, but actually to bring salvation and to offer it freely to all who will believe. And that's good news. Let's go to Him in prayer. Lord, help us.